You are listening to Agent Court Church's audio podcast. The following message was from our Christmas Eve service, presented Saturday, December 24th, 2016, by Pastor Jonathan Smith. For more information on Agent Court Church, including service times, how to connect, and campus locations, please visit our website at onechurch.to.
Well, Merry Christmas. A few years ago in the New York Times, they were running a story, an account of some executives of a major airport in the United States that were trying to deal with a difficult problem they had. They had a lot of complaints about the arrival of the luggage. I don't know if you've been there, if you've traveled this Christmas season. Your plane arrives at its intended point and you walk to the luggage carousel, and sometimes you end up waiting. And this airport in particular had a lot of complaints about the wait time of the baggage at the baggage arrival area. So they tried what executives do. They added additional personnel, and the additional luggage handlers did help. They lowered the time, get this, to 8 minutes. 8 minutes from the plane to the baggage carousel, which was below the industry standard. But still, the complaints just kept flooding in. But they notice nobody complained about the walk from the arrival gate to the baggage area because it took the passengers 1 minute. It was a 1 minute walk from where the plane arrived and where the baggage area was. So here's what they did. They took the arrival gate and they moved it 6 minutes away. They did this from the baggage arrival area. So people would come, they would arrive, they would walk 6 minutes, and they'd arrive in the baggage claim area, and there their luggage would be waiting for them. See, they discovered something really critically important. It's important what you do while you wait. In fact, it turned everything around. Instead of complaints, they received awards, compliments on how quickly they were able to serve as the clients, because apparently that walking gave the passenger something to do while they were waiting, something that felt productive, something that felt like they were getting somewhere, they were going somewhere, so that when they arrived at the baggage carousel, they were just waiting seconds. It was a marvelous, great idea. So we're in this Christmas season, and Christmas, I'm sure at all of our campuses you've heard over the Christmas season, Christmas is about waiting. There is something in the Advent season about waiting. We waited for centuries for the coming of Jesus Christ, but after he came that first Christmas, Christmas is not just a celebration of his arrival, it's an anticipation of his coming again. But some of us, waiting on God is difficult. One author put it this way, we're living in the here and not yet. And that can be difficult because sometimes in life we're waiting on God. Some of you in this room, you're waiting for God to come through. And sometimes your prayers can actually reveal that, because sometimes if we're not careful, our prayers sound like a complaint card. God, where are you? God, when is this going to happen? God, how are you going to deliver? How are you going to find me employment? So we begin to question God when we don't see him working according to our schedule and time. I don't know how many of you grew up in a tradition where you celebrated Advent. And if you didn't, Advent is simply the four Sundays that precede Christmas. Advent ends on Christmas Eve. So it's tonight that Advent ends. And Advent literally means coming. So as I mentioned, it's the coming of Jesus, the celebration of Jesus who came to take away the sins of this world. And it is the anticipation and the preparation of our hearts for the imminent return of Jesus Christ. He'll come again. We're in the already, but not yet. Now, if you have little ones at home, chances are they have the Advent spirit. Because it's, if you have a tree that's decorated, and if you wrap gifts and you put it under, what do the kids always want to do? I mean, I'm hearing kids all of a sudden talking. Because, you know, they'll say, can I open it? And because they're already there. And the parent will say, not yet. You know, if you have little ones, they have no sense of timing. So they wake up every morning, and especially if you live in a home where there's a Christmas tree and wrapped gifts and maybe Christmas music playing, they wake up in the morning and say, is it Christmas yet? Not yet. You know, as a little, I grew up with five siblings. And every Christmas, my parents are smart. They put no gifts under a tree because they know us too well. But I noticed that in the morning, we would get up before them and you'd look at these gifts and you weren't allowed to open it. But you look at it and we would do the shake test. You know, what's in there? Hopefully nothing breakable as we shake it enthusiastically, trying to discern what's inside of that. Well, friends, all of us, if you're a Christian, you find yourself in a season of waiting. Waiting for Jesus. Waiting for that moment in our life today, but also waiting for him to return. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul said it this way, all of creation waits in eager anticipation of that day. So if you have a Bible, I want to open up to Matthew chapter 1. Because we're going to look at the story of one man briefly here tonight. An intricate man in the Christmas story. His name is Joseph. He's going to be married to Mary. And in this story, we see a man whose plans are constantly changed. And he's forced to wait on God to unfold his perfect plan. So let me read some scripture to you tonight. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. Here's how it starts. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, and this means before they consummated the marriage, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to quietly divorce her. It's interesting, in the passage it says that Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. It's a technical term. It's not like in our modern day, someone gets engaged and you break off an engagement. To be pledged to be married was to be legally bound to that person. And they would have been pledged to be married since they were little children. So their whole lives, they knew who they were going to marry. This was just a matter of time that was supposed to unfold. They're pledged to be married, so to break that pledge would be divorce. That's why in the text it says that Joseph is her husband. They've not consummated their marriage, but legally they're bound. So he decides, because unexpectedly he finds out his betrothed is pregnant, and it's not him. And there's a few ways to deal with this, but he decides to quietly divorce her. Because he was a righteous and a faithful man. It's interesting what the text says about him. And that doesn't mean he was a good guy. That meant he was a guy who kept the Torah. He kept the Sabbath. He ate clean foods. He kept the religious days. He tried to follow the commands in Scripture. He did the right things, but now his reputation would begin to unravel. So he doesn't believe Mary. Mary says, listen, it's not another man. It's God. And he's like, right. Right. He's upset. He doesn't believe that. He's hurt. And the most common option in that day would be if a woman was caught in adultery in that ancient culture, they would be brought before the community and they would be humiliated. Just humiliated. And Joseph wants nothing to do with that. He's hurt. He's devastated. He's angry. But he doesn't want to publicly disgrace Mary, so he's going to quietly divorce her. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, and that little word considered in the original language means he was angry and there was anguish. He was really wrestling with a decision here. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So after Joseph has heard the news from Mary that she's going to have a baby and it's not his baby, he has to decide, and he finally, through anguish and wrestling, he decides to quietly divorce her. But then an angel comes and the angel says, no, she's right, she's telling the truth, which I think if I was Joseph would have been helpful a few verses before. A little preparation would have helped things go a little bit smoother. And in that moment, the angel says, I want you to change your plans again. You had this idea you were going to have this perfect marriage and it was just going to unfold perfectly. And then Mary's pregnant. So you decide, again, a turn, you're going to somehow divorce her quietly. And then the angel comes and says, no, take her home with you. Cause her to be your wife. In verse 21, it says this, we're almost done. It says, she will give birth to a son, and you're to give his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. Now, friends, it wouldn't have been much of a wedding. His friends wouldn't have attended that wedding. It's more than likely, given the cultural norm of that day, his family would have shunned that wedding. Joseph was a good kid. He grew up, and he tried to live the best possible life he could, but if you know the story in the New Testament, you know his reputation would never recover. In fact, later in the New Testament, when it would speak of Jesus, people would call him Mary's son. That went against all the cultural norms of that day. You were always associated with your father. Even if your father was dead, he would be known as Joseph's son, but it was a not-so-subtle way of reminding Jesus and Mary and the others that they knew Joseph wasn't his son. Joseph's reputation wouldn't recover. And the events of that first Christmas, I can't imagine the weight he must have felt. We don't know a lot about him. We know he was a carpenter, so likely he liked details. He probably liked plans, blueprints. You know, before he started a big project, he probably had plans. He got the materials together, and he'd launch into a project, and it was likely an extension of his personality. He liked to have his ducks in a row. He had a plan for everything. But here in this moment, everything's unfolding not according to his plan. This is not at all how he planned it would go. So what the angel says to Joseph is really important. And it's important to us. If you ever find yourself in a season of waiting on God, I think everyone does. And certainly as we wait for Jesus to return, it's important. The first thing the angel says to Joseph when he encounters him is, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. And yet, Joseph had every reason to be afraid. I mean, friends, his reputation was ruined. What would people say? How would people treat Mary? We know people can be cruel at times, don't we? And in the Christmas narrative, Herod, the king at that time, had decreed that all of the baby boys would be killed because he felt threatened for his throne. I mean, Joseph would have been running for his lives and the lives of his child and his wife. And then to be sent to Egypt and be a new immigrant there and with no connections. This was a difficult, stressful season in Joseph's life. There were two doctors in the U.S. that developed what they call a life change unit scale, and LCU. And it's meant to be stressful moments. How many stressful moments in your life can you maintain without breaking down? So they total up and they gave a value to things. Things like this. Marital separation, 65 points. 65 stress points. Adding a new member to your family is 39 stress points. A significant change on the financial front is 38 points. Difficult in-laws, 29 points. Seems kind of low to me. Pregnancy, 40 points. Traveling over the holidays, 12 points. Anyway, when you add up all of the stress that was on Joseph in this season, he totals to over 400 points. 300 points is the marker these doctors determine is when people have breakdowns, when people's physical lives and their health begins to be impacted. And some of you may understand that level of stress. Maybe your story is not so different than Joseph's. I mean, the circumstances are unique. But maybe you feel the stress of responsibility in this season. Maybe the stress of relationships weighs heavy on you. Maybe, like Joseph, you're the type of person that likes things under control and things are not under control in your life right now. Or you have a plan for things and things aren't going according to your plan. I think in the Christmas story, that weight of anxiety and fear that you see is normal for anyone in those circumstances. See, you know how you experience fear or anxiety? When you feel a heightened sense of vulnerability, but a diminished sense of power, fear invades that vacuum. When I feel vulnerable relationally, physically, spiritual, and I'm powerless to get myself healthy, to mend a relationship, to deal with my own spiritual inadequacies, when I'm powerless, that's when fear comes in. So the angel says to him, and he says to us today, don't be afraid. See, our lives can have great seasons where we're at the baggage claim and we're waiting. And we think God has forgotten. And the angel says, and God says through this narrative tonight, don't be afraid. Things are not unfolding according to your plan, but they are unfolding according to mine. See, I know what you don't know. I can see what you can't see. In that first Christmas, that first words from the angel would have steadied Joseph's heart, don't be afraid. And then he says this to him. The angel says this, change your plans. I love this. You know, take a risk, Joseph. I want you to do something, and this is what it says in the narrative. I want you to take Mary home as your wife. Joseph had not planned on doing this. I mean, this is the last thing he had planned on doing at this time. But I think about the Christmas season. What would it look like in the Christmas season if each of us said to God, is there anything you'd like to change in my plans? Is there something you want me to do or you want me to sacrifice in life? I'd spend a lot of time thinking about what to get the people I care about in life. And, you know, it's never about how much it costs. It's about the little details and what they noticed in life. I wonder how many of us, if we could pause in Christmas season and prepare room in our hearts for him by saying, God, is there anything you'd like to change? What Christmas gift could I be giving to you this Christmas season? And then the angel ends his talk with Joseph by simply saying, put your hope in Jesus. He says this, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The angel is saying, Joseph, it's going to be worth it. You're not going to regret this. It is going to be worth it. Put your hope in Jesus. Put your hope in the miracle that has just taken place. I mean, Joseph's reputation is ruined. Joseph's plans are all changed. But do you think he ever regretted that? I mean, he had a front row seat to watch his son become his savior. He taught the Son of God basic carpentry skills. I don't think Joseph ever regretted this. Everything was unfolding according to God's plan. Matthew says this in verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Friends, this Christmas, place your hope in Jesus. This Christmas, prepare room in your hearts for Jesus and his imminent coming. Because when Jesus comes again, it won't be like the first Christmas. In the first Christmas, he came and he came in weakness. But when he comes again, he will come in strength. When Jesus originally arrived, he came as a servant, but he'll come as a sovereign ruler. Where the first time he came as a baby in the manger. The next time he comes, he'll come as a mighty king. The first time he came to die. The next time he comes, the dead will rise to life again. The first time he came as a lamb. The next time he comes, he'll come as a lion. The first time he came silently. The next time he comes, it will be with a roar. The first time Jesus came, the world barely noticed. The next time he comes, every knee will bow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus. At the appointed time, Lord, your plan was revealed, and your Son came to earth on this great rescue mission for all humankind, regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of what we think of ourselves. You valued us individually that much, and you valued us corporately as a human race that much. So God, this Christmas season, Lord, we prepare room in our hearts for you. God, we pray, Lord, that you would, God, we offer up this simple prayer. Is there anything you'd like to change? Is there something you'd like us to sacrifice? And in turn, God, with fresh assurance, God, we turn to you and we say, Lord, forgive us of our sins and our trespasses. And Lord, may the Christ of Christmas fill our hearts and minds this Christmas season. Lord, help us not to be afraid when we're waiting on you. Lord, help us to put our hope and trust in you this Christmas season. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
You were listening to the Asian Court Church Podcast. Make sure you don't miss a message by subscribing to this podcast. Click the subscribe button on our website at onechurch.to or search for Asian Court Church in the iTunes Store. All creative content and production for this podcast is provided by the One Church Creative Team.